are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
I love our theme. I said this last time about the last theme as well, but that's okay. I love our new theme that Andy introduced to us a few weeks ago. Say it with me. What's the theme? It's grow. Grow. I love this theme because, well, let's get a show of hands. Who here would like to grow this year? I reckon that there would be everybody in this room. No one enjoys being stagnant. We all like to grow. Hopefully, we want to grow as a person. Some might be height challenged and might want to grow vertically, but most of us, when it comes to growth, it's actually about maybe growing in maturity, growing in depth, growing in character, in our relationship with God, yeah? So how do we do that? Hopefully by the end of the year, you will be absolute experts in this, but how do we do that? What is at the root? What is our foundation for growth? And you'll be pleased to know that there will be not one gardening analogy in this entire message. So stop for a moment, talk to the person next to you, and see if you can answer that question. What is the foundation for growth? Without using a gardening analogy. What is the foundation for growth? I'll give you 20 seconds. All right, so you've solved the problem, you've answered the question, we can all go home. Beautiful. I wonder, have you ever heard the term more for less? Have you heard the term more for less? More for less. We all want that, right? More money for less work. That'd be good, wouldn't it, Hamish? More money for less work. Grow my bank account with as little effort as possible. Please, someone give me an amen. Amen. As society, we're also looking for greater efficiencies, aren't we? How can we produce more goods for less labor? How can we answer more calls in less time? Some of us would like to eat more food and yet weigh less. Can I get another amen? Yeah. There's also this trend going around at the moment of less is more. And who's watched these mini homes shows? Yeah, where they like build a mini home. They're fascinating. I love these shows. Little bungalows on wheels with composting toilets, bunks you can hit your head on, barbecues out the front because there's no room for an actual kitchen. It's kind of like this. Everyone say, ah, ah. It seems a shame to take it away from its mother. But let's be honest, and Chris said it, it's a caravan, right? It's a caravan. It just makes it look like a house. It's a caravan, but it's just far harder to move. But those that live in these things, they swear by them. And I can see the attraction. Not with 3 kids, 2 dogs, 5 fish, a cat, mind you, but I can see how it can be an attraction for some. Simplifying life, less is more. Then, of course, we have the less is less and less is good types of movements as well. You might have seen Marie Kondo's Netflix series teaching us how to tidy up or to be minimalist. There's the minimalist movement going on in Japan where it seems that you try and reduce the number of items that you own and have in your house down to 150. 4 pairs of socks, 4 pairs of pants, 3 shirts. I'm seriously impressed by these people. I've got 2 boys who would go through 3 shirts in a day, let alone wait till the next wash cycle. And then there's the more give, less take. You might have seen this catchy little campaign from NAB back in 2014. More give, less take. More give, less take. I wonder how that catchphrase went during the Banking Royal Commission. So what if I was to tell you that I can give you the secret recipe to more for less and the foundation of growth? The foundation for personal growth, but more importantly, the foundation for spiritual growth. The truth is, if I said that, and I am actually saying that, you might start off a little skeptical. You might wonder, well, what trend or movement or thing are we talking about now? Is it another unkept promise? But the simple truth is that this supremely powerful formula for growth is almost 2,000 years old. Might even be older. And believe it or not, it comes with a lifetime guarantee. Yet it's a line in the book of John that if you blink, you might miss it. As you read it, you might skip over it. So in John chapter 3, we see two distinct happenings going on. Two distinct happenings recorded. The disciple, we are told Jesus loved, his best friend John, is writing down this account. And in the first part of the chapter, John reveals the encounter that Jesus has with the Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, who is described as a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus, he comes in secret at night to question Jesus, to investigate, to ask and learn from Jesus. And there's this sense that he suspects Jesus could be the real deal. He could be the Messiah that they've been waiting for. But there's this sense too that he gets a little bit confused as Jesus talks about how everyone wanting to see the kingdom of God needs to be reborn. Nicodemus, he asks in John 3, 4-7, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be, what? Born again. So here is step one. You want to grow? You want to grow spiritually? You need to be born again. How many people do we see trying to grow spiritually and yet they've actually bypassed the most important step? We live in an age where I actually believe there's a polytheistic Christianity going on. Polytheism being the belief in many gods. We have a generation who is adding the best bits of Christian teaching to secular beliefs or to Buddhist roots or Hindu teachings or whatever other worldview it might be. Not realizing that actually the best bits of Christianity is the very fact that we believe in only one true God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and who without, we are nothing. And while he came as a man, he was born of the Spirit and is Spirit. And unless we become reborn in the Spirit, we're missing out. Not on a little bit, but on the big bit. On everything. Its entirety of what it means to be a born-again Christian. A follower of a Christ, a co-heir of a rich inheritance, the kingdom of God, and all its benefits. Amen? That's an amazing thing. But we've got to make sure that we don't miss over this first step. Be born again. So step one of growth is refusing to fall for the lie that I can add Christ to who I am. Step one is actually total surrender. total surrender to God for a total regeneration. It's a heart transplant. It's a mind transformation. It's a blood transfusion. It's the lot. It's a rebirth. A second birth. We are born again. So step one of that formula for the foundation of growth is to be born again. If you're not born again, or you doubt tonight whether you're born again, can I encourage you right now by what Jesus goes on to say in this very same chapter, John 3:16 to 17. We probably know it well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. And I think a lot of the world thinks that's exactly why he came. But in order that the world might be saved through him. Salvation is on offer to you tonight. An invitation to become born again. And it begins with the simplest of prayers. And if you're keen to know more about that, then I encourage you, come up and see one of us after the service. We would love to pray that prayer with you tonight. James 1:18 says, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So the second, and there's only two, the second part of this foundation for spiritual growth is the hardest part of this building platform or foundation for growth. And it comes in the second part of John chapter 3, where we see a scene change. No longer is John writing about Jesus and Nicodemus, but rather he moves on to write about an encounter that John the Baptist is having with his followers. John the Baptist's own disciples. And his disciples, they're complaining to John that Jesus seems to be getting all the attention and is growing in his following. In fact, they wanted to make certain that John was aware that he realized that people who used to follow him, now in their droves, they are heading to Jesus and they're following Jesus. We read about it in John 3:26. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, meaning teacher, he who is with you across the Jordan, Jesus, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him. They're worried. They're concerned. Now, John has every reason to be jealous. He has every reason perhaps to be worried. His followers have every reason to be concerned. And yet, John isn't. He isn't at all. In fact, and to the disappointment of his disciples, John is actually overjoyed. He's excited. I tell you what, I wonder how many churches in Melbourne would be excited if everybody was suddenly leaving their church and going to another one. I don't think they would. I wonder how many, you know, political parties would go, fantastic, off to another political party, follow them. No. Yet John is overjoyed that his followers are now following someone else. If you were a Mandalorian, you can imagine his response. John's response, this is the way. Because in fact, this is the way. John never describes himself or considers himself worthy of worship or even of following. He instead describes himself simply as the bridegroom and not the groom. He's always been the forerunner, the assistant, the beacon that prepares the way and points to Jesus. John said in Matthew 3:11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. Not even carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John came to prepare the way, to point to the way, not to be the way. In John 14, 6, we read that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So John, being approached by his followers, who were worried that in some way that John was missing out, this was his response to them. John 3, 27 to 29. A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. This joy of mine is now complete. The bridegroom is here. And in the next verse, here it comes. He reveals this step two, the key to the foundation of spiritual growth for 2020, for you. See if you can pick it up. Verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. I wonder if you can pick it up. I highlighted it maybe to help you. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He must increase. I must decrease. There you have it. The foundation to spiritual growth. He must increase, but I must decrease. Christ in me needs to grow as I seek to make more room for him. Amen? Simple to say, yet hard perhaps to outwork this formula, but it's true. And it is supremely powerful. And it comes, as mentioned, with a lifetime guarantee. What growth do you want to see this year? Do you want to see the kingdom of God expanded? More people saved? Our church perhaps growing in number? Then pray. More of you, Jesus. Less of me. Want to see your ability to forgive expand? More of you, Jesus, less of me. Want to see breakthrough in the spiritual realm? See evil spirits flee from your life? More of you, Jesus, less of me. Want to see more peace or fulfillment? More of you, Jesus, less of me. Want to see breakthrough in worship? And see a closer connection to God. Want to see a greater outworking of the Holy Spirit and to see you stepping out in his gifts in your life? Then Jesus, you must increase. I must decrease. John Piper says this: Jesus is clearly demanding that we treasure him over everyone and everything else. To many people today, that is sheer egomania. And the people who respond that way find John the Baptist's reaction unintelligible. It's the opposite of their own. They see that Jesus demands that we love him more than anyone, that we follow him, trust him, enjoy him, be satisfied by him, in him. Delight in him. Obey him more than anyone else. And that's true. He does. And their response is exactly the opposite of John the Baptist. They remain where Nicodemus was, flabbergasted or appalled. And I love this also by John Piper. When Jesus becomes greater in the world, and I become lesser in the world, my joy increases. Let me say it again. I hope that it rings home and rings true. When Jesus becomes greater in the world, I become lesser in the world, my joy increases. John knew it. It was his secret. It was the secret to his joy, that Christ must increase and I decrease. And notice, it wasn't a maybe, a should, or a could. It's a must. He must increase, but I must decrease. It's necessary that he must grow and I must lessen. The ISV version says it this way: he must become more important, but I must become less important. The must of verse 30 is very important. This is God's must. It's the must of a divine plan. In verse 27, God gives people to Jesus, takes them from John and gives them to Jesus. They leave John the Baptist. They go to Jesus. And this is God's doing. Not John's doing, not Jesus' doing. This is God's doing. John the Baptist, he lived a very different life. He preached a very different message. He lived with what seemed to others as big failures. And he was even prepared to die a humiliating death, beheaded, all for one reason: his commitment to the cause of Christ. If we are to emulate or copy one thing from John the Baptist, it would have to be this: his single-minded devotion to the cause of Christ. I wonder what you might see this year. If there was less and more of the following: less concern for how others see you, and more concern for how others see Jesus. Less focus on what you deserve from others, and more focus on what you owe Christ. Less preoccupation with your perceived rights, and more focus on what it means to be a servant of God. Steph, would you mind coming up and just playing for us? I want to finish with a simple illustration. An illustration of what less of me might look like, and what a prayer of "he must increase, but I must decrease" might accomplish. Are you ready? Yes, good. I'll put words in your mouth. All right. Here's what more of me looks like, or what giving up perhaps my moral compass might look like, or giving up the Spirit's leading and allowing myself to chase all the pleasures of the flesh. Pleasures that promise so much, but instead long-term deliver so much brokenness and heartache. As we look around the room, there might be people who would resonate with these things. Maybe not. Maybe it's the church down the road and we're all perfect here. Perhaps there's a bit of Galatians 5 in us. Perhaps there's some other sin. Perhaps there's selfishness or insecurity that might include these things. Insecurity. Helplessness. These are the things that fill us up, right? They can be part of us and part of our identity. Dishonesty. Temper. Jealousy. Hate. Disunity. Being distant. lost hopes, lost dreams. Rivalry. Worship of idols. Selfishness. Unforgiveness. Sexual immorality. Self-pity or self-loathing. Weakness. Past hurt. Moral corruption. Doing whatever feels good. Obsession. Drunkenness. Impurity. You can fill that with whatever else I may have missed. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, step one of spiritual growth, there's an instant outpouring of His Spirit into our lives. And it says in Ephesians 1:13, we are sealed with the promise. We are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Then step two, with Jesus Christ as our Savior and praying and having a heart that prays and requests, Christ, you increase and I decrease. A transformation. A transformation takes place like no other. As we continue to pray, as we continue to go to church, as we begin to read the Word, as we begin to push through, watch what happens. Maybe things need a little help. Jesus doesn't run out of water. You get it though, right? Christ in you. Jesus, you increase that I might decrease. It fills you up, and it fills you up until your cup runneth over. Where's the hurt? Where's the pain? Where's the criticism, the false expectation? Where's the selfishness? Where's the self? Where's the false hope, the disappointment? Where's the hate and the unforgiveness? It's all been washed away. It's all been washed away. Amen? That is worth getting excited about. You want to grow in 2020? Follow this recipe for growth. Get the foundation right. The rest will follow. The recipe for a fulfilling life, for growth, is simply that. He must increase, but I must decrease. Would you stand with me tonight? If you'd be willing, why don't you just raise your hands up to God tonight? And if that's something that you want to pray, pray that right now. If you don't know what it is that I'm asking you to pray, it's on the board. Father, may you increase that I may decrease. As you hold your hands out in front of you, cup them. To say, Father, pour out your Holy Spirit into this vessel. more of you and less of me. As your spirit floods my spirit, may everything else just wash away. The condemnation that I feel, the heaviness of sin that I might feel, the rejection that I might know, let it all be washed away. As I stand here in February 2020, saying, God, from this foundation, I know that I can grow. Washed clean of my past, forgiven, redeemed, set free. From this point, I can grow. And tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you're like, hey, you know what? That born again thing, gee, I want to know what that is. Would you raise your hand, just as no one else is looking around, but just I am, would you raise your hand and say, hey, actually, I would love for you to just catch up with me after the service and just have you pray that prayer with me. Awesome. And I'll hope and declare that everybody knows Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. So step one is there. And step two tonight, saying more of you, Jesus, less of me. Not just today, but tomorrow. Not just tomorrow, but the next day. Not just the next day, but every day. Imagine what the end of 2020 will look like if that becomes a daily habit. Less of me, God. More of you. Less of me, God. More of you. That is our prayer tonight, God. Have your way in us. Have your way in us, God. Father, this week, as we decide and we pray about what to fast, this coming month as we fast, I pray, God, that that is our heart's desire, right in the midst of fasting. It's, God, I give this up. Less of me, more of you. Have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen, amen. I pray that that blesses you, challenges you, and that this week will be an incredible week with more of God and less of you. Amen.